Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our good friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, I'm good. Good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Well, we appreciate you taking time to join us. So, Gentry, obviously that was ugly for the Titans on Sunday against Houston. Ryan Tannehill with four interceptions. The offense has not looked very good since Derrick Henry went out of the lineup. I guess my question for you is, moving forward, how does this get better based on the way that Tannehill has been playing and, quite frankly, the weapons or lack thereof that he has at his disposal right now, especially at the wide receiver position?
Yeah, I mean, I think the only way it does get better is just to get healthier. I don't think you expected what to lose to the Texans. But at the same time, this kind of did feel inevitable that all these injuries and all the attrition was going to have to catch up with him eventually, right? I mean, against the Rams, the defense played so well and provided scores. Against the Saints, the special teams played so well and provided scores. Eventually, it was just going to catch up with them, the fact that the offense has clearly regressed dramatically without Derrick Henry, but not just without him. I mean, it's unrealistic to think this offense is going to be anything close to what we've seen it be at times without Henry, Julio Jones, A.J. Brown. They didn't have Jeff Swaim. I mean, Jeremy McNichols, you kind of go down the list. To ask a team to rely on Dontrell Hilliard as your main guy in the second half to win a game that you're trailing, it's a little too much to ask.
So are they just going to go blow out the Patriots Sunday? Is that the correct right. thing to expect? We were just talking, Gentry, just the Titans, yes. But also, like, the AFC, on a weekly basis, there's at least one result you're like, wait a minute, what? And mm-hmm. most weeks there's more than one. Like, how do you, like you said, it's hard to even assess like what the Titans' future is, chances are, unless they get players back and stop losing them. But how do you view the AFC as a whole right now?
Oh, I mean, it's wide open. I'm listening to you guys saying all this is going to shake out with Kansas City still at the top. That's probably how I view it. I still, if you had to say, hey, pick a team right now, I'd still probably pick Kansas City. And I think some of that is they figured some things out, but they've also been able to stay healthy. They've been able to do some things that, if you look at some of the other teams, the Titans, I mean, it's almost a joke by this point how many players they've lost offensively, and it's really been going on all season. But the Colts started 0-3 because they couldn't stay healthy. You kind of go down the list. Lamar Jackson, the Ravens won without him. But look at the Ravens preseason. They lost, what, 3-4 guys for the season, good players. So I think that's been a big part of it. It's just kind of an attrition deal is who's able to stay the healthiest at the end with their key guys. You know, and right now, with the Titans, nobody wants to hear it. Nobody around the team's going to make the excuse of injuries because, yeah, again, everybody has injuries. You look at, you know, the Cardinals having to play without Kyler Murray, DeAndre Hopkins, and T.J. Watt with the Steelers. You go down the list. But it's just unrealistic to think the Titans are going to be able to play at the level that of the top team in the AFC when they're missing these kind of players.
Gentry, did Sunday make you feel any differently about the AFC South? Obviously a big win for the Colts against Buffalo. The Titans drop one to the Texans. Still a two-game lead for the Titans, which is really a three-game lead when you factor in that they've swept the Colts. So they're still in good shape. Did it change your thinking at all in terms of there being an actual race now in the AFC South?
Maybe a little bit. You know, maybe a little bit. Not a good turn there for the Titans, I suppose. I mean, you kind of going into that Colts-Bills game, you kind of could make a case from the Titans' perspective that they would rather the Colts win. But that's assuming that the AFC South is a done deal, and, you know, maybe it is. Maybe the leads too much, but the Colts sure are playing very well right now, and they're proving to be the kind of team that, look, if you go to Buffalo and win a game like they won this last weekend in a way that very few people thought they would be able to win it, you know, that's the kind of team that any week could do that to anybody, and the Colts are improving quickly after some early issues. So I think they're going to be right there. And I don't know if that, I think that says more about Indy's team than it does the Titans. But the finish line looks longer, farther away for the Titans now than it did a week ago.
So with Ryan Tannehill, obviously, it's kind of been, I guess it sort of was building to Sunday. Just, it seems like at least once a week he'll make a decision. You're like, wait, what is that? And we hadn't been used to seeing that the last couple of years. I do think it probably a couple of those picks the other day have something to do with Dez Fitzpatrick being forced into the role he was forced into. But what is your concern level, Gentry, with Tannehill right now and moving forward?
I don't think he's been as good this season as the last couple of seasons, obviously. But I think when you look from start to finish this season, there have been several factors here that didn't exist before. Number one, the pass protection. I mean, everybody knows. I mean, he's been sacked, 31 times? And I think last season he'd only been sacked 24 for the whole season. So there were a few weeks where it got better, but it's still an issue. So I think that's obviously been a big part of it going back to the start of the season. And look at what you're asking of your quarterback in a scenario where, Dez Fitzpatrick played the most snaps out of any wide receiver in this last game. Would anyone have ever expected that just a month ago, that they'd be sitting there in week 11 and Dez Fitzpatrick had the most snaps as receiver? And you're asking him not just to play, but to lead a comeback in a game you're trailing, in the rain. And I, four interceptions isn't good. Tannehill needs to play better. There's no excuse when a quarterback throws that many. But I think that he's in a scenario now, probably more so than at any point in his time with the Titans, where he's being asked to do it all by himself. And that's, it's not easy for a lot of players. Added to the fact that I think he threw it, 52 times in this last game? That's the most, I believe, that he's thrown it in any start for the Titans since he became the quarterback. So, they're clearly asking a lot of their quarterback at this point.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Gentry, switching gears to the Vols, obviously a win against South Alabama. They're 6-5, chance to go 7-5 this weekend against Vanderbilt. How impressed are you by what you've seen out of Josh Heupel and company in his first year?
Very impressed. I don't think he probably won't be your SEC coach of the year because you have some other coaches in that league you can make a pretty strong case for. But I think he's certainly the rookie of the year among SEC coaches. The first year guys, I mean, he's done the most with the least out of any coach in that league. If you guys remember, I mean, going into this season, I don't think it would have shocked anyone if Tennessee had won 3 or 4 games. When you looked at the roster and the kind of talent they lost in the transfer portal and the kind of questions they had really on both sides of the ball, this could have been bad. And had it been bad, I don't think anybody really would have held it against Heupel all that much. But the fact that they have been as formidable offensively as they've been, not only has given them a chance to win a lot of these games, but it's also made them fun to watch. And I think that's really one of the biggest parts of this, is that there's some excitement around that program that hasn't existed in quite a while. And that's going to, I believe, manifest itself in recruiting at a time when Tennessee really needs that to be the case, be it high school players, transfers, whatever. So I don't really believe you could have ever expected it to go any better than it has for him in his first year over there.
So do you have a different view of him as a coach, of his prospects in Knoxville, than you did the day he was hired, Gentry?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think that hire, I've been asked that a couple times. It's when you think back to that hire, at the time it just seemed like Danny White looked around the room and just said, okay, you, the guy he knows. Because I think at the time they would have had such a hard time finding a coach because of how things ended with Pruitt and the depleted roster and the NCAA issues. So it just made sense at the time that he grabbed his friend as kind of the next best option. But the performance he's had since stepping into that job, yeah, I've been surprised. I have. And I think, look, there's going to be a long way to go. And I think the tough part is going to be, I think, winning a championship playing the kind of offense and the style that he does, because I think this is the kind of style that's good. Tennessee is going to go out there and beat somebody they shouldn't play in this way. But I think that also makes them more susceptible to losing to someone they shouldn't, because just of the nature of this, how long you're keeping your defense on the field, that kind of thing. So I think playing this way is a formula to win games, build excitement, do some good things in the SEC, but I'm not sure yet that it's going to be a formula to win a championship in the SEC. And I think the longer it goes for Heupel, the more that's going to become a talking point. But at this point, it looks great.
Gentry, last thing for you here. Nashville SC in playoff action tonight, taking on Orlando City. What intrigues you the most about this Nashville SC squad as they head into the playoffs?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've got a good shot at it. They've lost, I think, was it four games this season?
Yep.
They tied the MLS record for draws in a season with 18, so you can go either way with that. But I will say, from watching, a lot of those draws were games they should have won. They left points out there a lot, especially early in the year against some teams they should have beaten. And, you know, as a result of that, they end up getting squeezed out for the number two seed, which went to the Philadelphia Union. Nashville's the three seed. They were two for a while and kind of lost it there at the very end. That could matter in the second round, because Philly won their first round game. So if Nashville wins tonight, they'll have to go on the road and play Philly in the second round. So you don't like that aspect of it. But when a team only loses four times in the whole season, they're going to be tough to beat in a knockout scenario where, you know, you're going to get extra time, penalties, that kind of thing. They have a toughness about them. They play defense well. They've demonstrated more of an offensive style and effectiveness this year than they've had. They're a pretty complete team. I wouldn't want to have to face them in a knockout scenario, and I'm going to be interested to see what they're able to do if they kind of get things going here, because I think they could be a tough out.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Row. Gentry, great stuff, man. Appreciate you taking time to join us this morning.
You bet. Take care, guys.
Thanks, man.
It is going to be interesting to see Nashville SC tonight as they take on Orlando City, as he mentioned. Very difficult team to beat in the regular season. Not going to be any draws in the playoffs, obviously. So, going to have to find a way to get it done out there tonight.
You got to choose a direction.
Yes, you do.
No more draws.
It's either a win or loss.
18 is a number.
That is quite the number. We'll come back. We'll react a little bit to what Gentry had to say there. Welcome your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention, men. Have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, Andrew from Hillside Medical Clinic joins me to tell us all about it. Andrew, what's going on, man?
Hello, and yes, guys, we have a major advancement in technology, really. It's changed all aspects of our life. Now it's changing how we treat erectile dysfunction. If you're frustrated in the bedroom, Hillside Medical Clinic uses the most advanced form of wave therapy. Gentle pressure waves open up and regrow blood vessels and improve circulation enough we can get rid of the ED, and we do it, thank goodness, without any of the pills.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this new technology?
Well, so many. It's too many to count, 50 probably. Irrefutable evidence from Cambridge, the Cleveland Clinic, and so many others calling this the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And, Andrew, I hear you have a special offer if our listeners call in right now.
If you want more intimacy this holiday season and to improve frequency in the bedroom, call us now. You'll qualify for the assessment exam and blood flow ultrasound free. And this gift that you will love, it produces immediate results in the bedroom, hundreds of dollars in value. It's free to callers now.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Tuesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well, staying warm. Cold Tuesday morning out there this morning. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Ben texting into our text line. He was 100% right. The Vols won't get a natty with this style. It's like telling me I'll make $100,000 a year and get whatever house and car I want, but I'll never get married and have a family. I would not be happy with that. Until we get a legitimate coach and some real players, we're only treading water. This coming from Ben, who has taken the doomsday and poured water all over. Just not good.
My goodness. That's like my personal text line. We were talking about the dog water bowl. How about what was it? Dog water poured through cheeks.
Yes.
Put them both together. That's a downer take. Actually, it's kind of refreshing though for me, just because I do look at like it's an encouraging season, but I do want to just caution Vol Twitter, like,
yeah,
don't go overboard.
Pump the brakes.
I know you're excited about your coach, and it's been a nice start, but just keep it level.
We've seen this movie before?
Well, we've seen the movie of unbridled excitement. This is the guy. This is it. And then, oh, my God, he needs to be fired right now.
Think about how – I mean, you brought this up earlier. Think about how Tennessee fans felt about Butch Jones after the Hail Mary to beat Georgia and how they felt after the South Carolina game, which was like a month apart.
4 weeks.
Yeah.
It was 4 weeks apart. Yeah. So, yeah. Or actually, that was less than 4 weeks, I want to say. That was just a couple weeks later. It was 4 weeks from the South Carolina to the Vanderbilt. Like, from going into that game, you're the East leader, to the end of the Vanderbilt game where you know, blew the chance to at least go to the Sugar Bowl. It happens fast. I don't agree, though. I don't agree with the texture on, like, this style can't win a championship. If you have good enough players, I promise you, this style can win a championship. This system is not like championship proof or championship deterrent. Okay,
yeah.
I don't buy that at all. I mean, look at what have we seen with some of the teams that have won championships recently? Not exactly, maybe the same thing. I mean, certainly Georgia plays a more old school style, power football, built around defense, running the ball. But this style of offense, and variations of it, can definitely work. You just have to get better. You have to get better players. Now, I don't know if he'll do that. I think that's the biggest concern and question. But you can't tell me that you can't win with this. Does it strain a defense? Sure. If you have good enough defensive players, enough depth on defense, you can overcome it.
What did you make of what Gentry said about maybe the race in the AFC South? He's feeling a little bit differently about it after what we saw on Sunday between the Colts and the Titans. Now, we've seen, you know, what the Colts we think would have to do in order to really get back in this division. I still find it to be unlikely. I will say, though, based on what we saw from the Titans on Sunday, like, there's not a game moving forward that the Titans have left on their schedule where I'm like, oh, yeah, feel great about that one now after what we saw on Sunday.
Right, like you should. Like, they should be in good shape against the Jags at home. They should be in good shape against the Dolphins at home. I do think that Niners game looks more and more interesting. The Niners are gaining momentum. But I'll entertain the Colts if the Titans lose the Patriots and the Colts beat the Bucs on Sunday and make it a one-game lead. Okay, then I think you have to entertain it at that point. At this point, it's still pretty distant.
I got a texture that says, Vol Twitter is now panicking because they figured that Florida's going to hire a better coach than Dan Mullen.
Who?
I guess my question is, who is that going to be?
Who?
Like, who are they going to hire?
I mean, whoever they hire, it'll be sold. I mean, I know, like, some people are pushing, like, Dan Lanning, you know, D.C. at Georgia, and it's like, yeah, you take the guy out of Georgia, you weaken Georgia, and you get the recruiting going and all that, and that's fine. Maybe that would work out. But, I mean, a job like that, to me, should go to a proven head coach. But who is it? Who is the head coach who you're going to go get and boom, you just feel like, I mean Billy Napier, he might work out. I don't know. Oh, there you go. Urban,
yeah,
just
really
drive on
there.
Over. Drive on back, Urban. Shoot, man.
Sure, they got some nice bars in Gainesville.
head ball coach have any? I mean, he's there. Does he have any sort of, you know, swan song in him? I don't know.
You going back to Spurrier?
Friend of the show. Yeah,
he is friend of the show. Look,
maybe
I'd love
get him
it.
On here.
I would love to see him back in there.
I wonder if he would get on here to talk about the Florida situation right now.
Well, maybe Jack. I don't know. Matt from Camden texting in. I'm very happy with how this team has played this year, but what can he do in year two and year three? If he goes 7-5 again next year, I need to see more before I dive in head first. Talking about Josh Heupel. Well, look.
There you go. I agree.
I mean, I need to see more as well now. I mean, there's a very good chance he could go 7-5 again next year. I mean, they still play Alabama. They still play Georgia. LSU's on the schedule next year. Going to Pitt next year. I mean, there's still a lot of games that you could lose next year.
A lot of L's you could have, yes.
So
you're not going to, in year one, I mean, the portal makes it so much harder to project what a team's going to be, because I could see the Vols hitting the portal heavily and having success hitting it. But at this point, yeah, 7-5 in year two, to me, would not be some massive disappointment.
When we come back, we've got some tickets to give away on the other side. We'll hit those up on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com next. I'll give you the number and what the tickets are. You're not going to want to miss it. It's one of Michelle Knezevic's favorites, as we learned yesterday. That's coming up on the other side. Also, get back into the Titans and the Ryan Tannehill discussion as well. How does this get better with the Titans roster, especially at wide receiver, being what it is? We'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations, member FDIC, equal housing lender. We got some tickets to give away to see Billy Idol and Steve Stevens at the Ryman Auditorium coming up on Monday, November 29th. Be caller number 3, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025, caller number 3 will win a pair of tickets to see Billy Idol and Steve Stevens coming up at the Ryman Auditorium on Monday, November 29th. So hit up our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025.
Still a banger.
Good stuff.
Rebel Yell, still a banger.
It's in Michelle's rotation now. She's going Private Eyes. And Rebel Yell. I don't know why I just blanked on that.
Let's not forget ZZ Top.
Yeah.
I feel like she hasn't really embraced Billy Idol or ZZ Top, but the Hall & Oates is a win. We'll take the W's. Well, we can take them.
That's right. Speaking of, stay tuned tomorrow. Maybe a little Hall & Oates action here on the
Yes! Let's go.
Scheduled to be joined by John Oates tomorrow, so... Dang, that will probably be the last segment that Joe Rexroad participates in here on the program, because... He might have a heart attack right after that.
We'll have reached nirvana.
Yes. Yes, you will. Joe, we discussed Ryan Tannehill earlier in the show. Obviously a bad day on Sunday. 4 interceptions against the Texans. He took responsibility after the game. It's been a difficult season for Tannehill in terms of the turnovers. 12 interceptions opposed to 13 touchdowns so far this season. That coming to a head on Sunday against the Texans in an ugly performance. And now you look at the roster. Obviously, Tannehill's been getting hit a lot this year. The offensive line, as you pointed out earlier, they've not played a game yet where their offensive line, the starters, have been in the game together for an entire game, which is incredible when you're 11 weeks into a season that that's been the case. And you look at the wide receiver core, A.J. Brown's status up in the air for Sunday, Marcus Johnson's status up in the air for Sunday's game. We know that Julio Jones is not going to be out there. There's not much out there available in terms of weapons for Ryan Tannehill right now. How does this get better as the roster is currently constructed in terms of the quarterback play and the offense moving the ball as the Titans move forward here?
No, I mean, I agree with Gentry. Ultimately, I wish there was like a more comprehensive or insightful answer than like get healthy, but I don't have one. So you got to get healthy. You got to stay healthy. Hasn't happened this year too well for the Titans. I mean, this week, you're talking – I mean, the good thing with, like, Des Fitzpatrick is, like, you have a week now to get reps in and to be ready for a role that was not supposed to be his role Sunday. It was only his role Sunday because both Marcus Johnson and A.J. Brown went out. So that's one huge thing is, I mean, that should make a big difference. You know, Chester Rogers and Nick Westbrook-Ikhina have good chemistry with Tannehill, and those guys can make plays. You're not scaring anybody with that trio, and you're not increasing the fear factor when you bring Mason Kinsey and Cody Hollister into the fold. But that's probably the five, unless the Titans go sign someone this week, and I honestly don't know right now off the top of my head who that might be. I mean, it's possible, you know, for them to have some tryouts for guys, look at some receivers. And this is all assuming that Marcus Johnson isn't going to immediately bounce back from the hammy, and then A.J. Brown isn't going to immediately bounce back from the chest, ribs, shoulder, whatever that is, even though Rapport reported yesterday the x-rays were negative on the ribs. I mean, that doesn't mean he's going to be ready to take hits in New England Sunday. So you're probably going with just a stripped-down receiving core. And so you need to run the ball if that's your offense and you're going against the Patriots.
It's pretty incredible to think about the condition of this wide receiver room right now when you go back to camp and you think about, okay, you've got A.J. Brown, Julio Jones, Josh Reynolds, Marcus Johnson, Chester Rogers, Dez Fitzpatrick, Mason Kinsey, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina. Like, we spent all training camp, all we talked about was the wide receivers and the depth that they have at wide receiver. And then you look at what happens on Sunday, and they've got three guys that, I mean, Nick Westbrook-Ikhina was awesome, as we know, friend of the show, but they're in a rough spot right now at wide receiver. Real rough spot.
Real rough spot.
Didn't even mention Cam Batson in there.
Right, lost to the season. Cam Batson right now would be – let me tell you something. If Cam Batson wasn't lost for the year, that's one of those injuries that you forget about. I promise you, he would have been the guy at the X the other day making those plays, and they wouldn't have had the issues they had.
Yep.
I mean, it's because, I mean, he's a guy they trust and who has done this enough to be trusted. You're going against a defense, number one in the most important category, points a game, 16.1 a game allowed by the Patriots. They're also in sack percentage. They're eighth in the league, 7.4% of dropbacks. They get a sack. You know, pass defense, they're sixth. Passing yards per play, they're sixth. Overall defense, they're third. Yards per play, they're third. I mean, it's a – and they're just – they are a nasty physical defense. So, you got to find a way to get some kind of a running game going. You got to hope that your offensive line stays intact and has a really good game. And you probably got to hope that your defense dominates the game to have a chance.
Let's go to our – let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Henry texting in, I believe it's really tough for the Titans with all the injuries that they have, and the first thing that has to change at this point is the quarterback play, regardless of how many other injuries are there. If he has another game like that, what would you think then at that point? So I guess if Tannehill has a repeat performance coming up on Sunday against the Patriots, what sort of conversation are we having next Monday? I mean, I don't think...
Oh, boy.
I mean, we're not getting Woodside? I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think that's where Henry was going.
Okay.
But, I mean, I did point out earlier, transitive property. Logan Woodside beat out Trevor Siemian. Trevor Siemian has looked halfway decent, sometimes kind of, sort of, so far this year.
He did here. Yeah. How many years of Marcus Mariota, you know, kind of up and down and unfulfilling was it until he got replaced?
At least probably 2.5, 3.
Yeah. I mean, he was really good in 16.
Yeah.
He led a lot of game-winning drives in 17 despite kind of an underwhelming season.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't playing awful.
I mean, skipping rocks over there?
He was protected by face of the franchise, Taylor Lewan. So,
he was.
But it took a while. It was like the weekly. It was the daily. If we had this show back then, that's all we would have talked about.
That's all we would have done.
Might have had some good screaming at each other with your hatred for Mariota.
But do you feel any differently about the Tannehill-Brady discussion now? So the Titans have just gone all after Brady?
Well, some people have brought that up. They'll bring that up every time. It'll always be brought up. I think one thing that is lost there is, do we know Brady would have picked here?
We don't know that.
Yeah. I mean, it's possible, but... Unless he says that, so I absolutely would have gone to Nashville, and he never will. Maybe in his tell-all, his ninth book that he writes, when he's like 87, he'll tell us that you know, he actually really wanted to come to Nashville and play for Vrabel.
Do we now believe that Tannehill is that MF-er that Brady was talking about on the HBO special?
I've always believed it's Garoppolo. I always will, until proven otherwise. Credit to Jared. Jared asked the question.
Yeah, I just wanted to get this discussion back to Brady somehow.
Yeah, I know. But no, I mean, the people bring it up. People have brought it up this week. I think on the text line, certainly on Twitter, in my comments on my column, for sure, off the game, that should have picked Brady. Hey, it's look, you can make the case. I mean, there's going to be no comparison between Tannehill and Brady when their careers are over. We compare them side by side, okay? I still think the Titans did the right thing.
Let's go back to the text line. Henry texting back in. Mariota wasn't getting paid $31 million a year, though. That is true.
Well, yeah, Mariota's last year, which was his option year, he got paid, what, 20-some?
Yeah, it was up there.
Yeah. And $30 million is a lot. It's also, well, let's do the Google machine. Not necessarily very high in the pantheon of quarterbacks. It's a lot of money. That's also what that position is. So, look, Tannehill has got to play better. No one could possibly argue with that. I'm still saying overall this season hasn't been as bad as the numbers suggest. Last game was bad.
Have you seen the line for Titans and Patriots coming up on Sunday?
No, what is it?
What would you guess it is?
I would guess Patriots by 5.5.
You nailed it.
Really?
It's Patriots by 5.5.
Ooh, okay.
Maybe that's pretty good.
Maybe I should
you sure
be the
you haven't seen it?
To Vegas, huh? Maybe it's me.
Wow. That's
no,
pretty good.
No, I honestly didn't. No, I didn't look at it. Thank you. I'm very excited about that. Sorry, I'm trying to Google quarterback contracts.
You're fine. Ricky texting in, just spitballing here. Is Josh Gordon on the Chiefs active roster? Yes, he is. He has a nice drop the other day.
Yep. And he's part of their plans. So that would not be – I mean, I'm sure there's somebody out there that might be worth a look right now. Okay, let's see. Yeah, let's see. Right now, Tannehill's – deal at 29.5, by the way, which is the, and you know his cap hit's less than that this year. It's going to go way up next year, but he's 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So he's 11th in the league right now.
Did you just count?
Thank you. I just counted out loud. I have to count. Talking to myself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 1, 2, 3.
Oh man. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says the Titans have a diamond in the rough on the practice squad. His name is Chris Rowland from TSU. He was a beast. He was the one putting points on the board. Maybe the Titans just go their own practice squad, Chris Rowland. I tell you what, if you're Chris Rowland, just wait your turn, man. At this rate, you might get a chance.
Well, Chris Rowland, I mean, talk about like a Cam Batson stand-in, 5'8", 170.
Yeah.
So, I mean, hey.
Pride of Ravenwood High School.
He's got a chance to get in there. I would guess... because those guys have played some, that Kinsey and Hollister would be having, but Chris Rowland, a name worth mentioning. And by the way, he would help them push toward that NFL record of players used in a season.
Heidi from Dixon texting in. Just win two more games so we get into the playoffs with Henry. We're going to keep getting the hurt players more hurt if we throw them out there. We are playing for February, not November. That's coming from Heidi from Dixon.
So what you're saying, so – Two more wins. So let's play that out. So 10-7. What are the Colts going to finish?
Who knows?
Does 10-7 get you in the playoffs? Probably, right?
I think so.
I think it probably does. So the Colts are 6-5. Could the Colts go? I mean, that's the thing.
They would have to go.
That's the thing. If the Colts go 5-2, okay. The Colts go 5-2 the rest of the way, which would also be 10-7.
You still win the division,
and you go 2-5. You still win the division. I mean, you know, it's you're in pretty good shape. But
now, I will say, if the Colts win Sunday, you might start to change what the Colts could do down the stretch, because all of a sudden they could go 6-1.
They could
7-0 down the stretch.
They could. They still have the Pats, who everyone is in love with now. They still have the Cards.
They do.
On the road. The Pats are at home, but I agree. I mean, like 6-1 is on the table. So, again, then the Titans need to go 3-4 to win the division. But if you get to the scenario, certainly that could happen Sunday, the Titans would be sitting there needing to go 3-3 and to, you know, with the Colts going 5-1 to win the division. That's not as comfortable.
ESPN 94.9 is the official English radio home of the Nashville Soccer Club. Tune in tonight as 3-seed Nashville SC faces the 6-seed Orlando City SC in the first round of the Audi MLS playoffs at Nissan Stadium. The pregame starts at 6:45 and the match begins at 7 o'clock. We'll come back. We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning here on Robbie and Rex Road. So make sure you stay tuned for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. We'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson to begin the 9 o'clock hour, as we are each and every Tuesday morning at 9 o'clock. So looking forward to that coming up here in just a few minutes. Joe Rexrode responding to my power rankings on Twitter.
Disrespect!
Right next to me. Who am I disrespecting?
The Titans.
I told you yesterday they're coming out of my top five. They did. They're at number six.
Well,
you can't lose to the Houston Texans, keeping my top five.
Disrespect, not happening, man. The Titans are disrespected.
Yeah, you're not losing the Houston Texans staying in my top five on the power rankings. It's not going to happen.
Where'd you put the Texans? I haven't seen
the Texans are at 30. This is maybe the highest they've been.
That's disrespect for them, too. Jeez.
I've got the Jets and Lions behind them. Jags been fighting their butts off the last few weeks, man. I've got them at 29.
The Texans,
Chicago at 28.
Tyrod Taylor and the Texans destroyed the Jags. I mean, that was week one, but still.
What are we talking about here? Who the Texans have this week? Do we know?
Really?
Is that real?
Ooh, now there's the dog
water
cheeks.
What a battle that was going to be. My goodness.
Someone on the text line said dog water cheeks combo bowl sponsored by Combos. I don't mind
that.
Well,
think about this last 2 weeks then for the Jets. You've got the Jets and Dolphins last week in a barn burner. Joe Flacco starting quarterback. Now the Jets and the Texans. Texans could go two in a row here, man.
I think the Texans
climb back into this thing.
I think the Texans are going to take it to them. They're screwing up their number one overall pick. You know, not that this is one of those years where the number one overall pick,
yeah,
we don't even know who that is. I mean, it's still, you'd rather have as high a pick as possible, right? But it might be Thibodeau, the pass rusher from Oregon.
Who's the number one quarterback? Like the buzz going into the year was Spencer Rattler, and that ain't happening.
Oh my God. So I caught up with the legend, John McClain, the sports writer, not the Bruce Willis character, in the press box the other day. Of course, I mean, John, man, that guy, I mean, he's been covering the NFL since the 70s, still rocking and rolling, still traveling for all the games. But so we were talking about this very topic, and he thinks when it all comes down to it, it's going to come back around to Kenny Pickett, that Kenny Pickett will be – and I think – Vols fans know him well. You saw him in that. He's very good.
He's a good player.
But if that's the top quarterback in the draft, it's a very underwhelming quarterback draft. Malik Willis from Liberty is a talent, but kind of some not great results against, you know, like better teams. He throws a lot of picks. I mean,
could it be Matt Corral?
I mean, it could be. I mean, I like him. Could be.
But even him, like, he does – you don't think of him as, like – he's not Trevor Lawrence, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. There's no clear-cut number one guy.
No, exactly. He's not Justin Fields.
No.
He's not, well, Mac Jones, who's been very good. It's
– ankle twister.
Yeah. I mean, Matt Corral is a really good player. I still think he's a better runner than a passer, you know? I mean, he's very good. But then what about Hendon Hooker? Right now he's some people think he's like second, third round kind of pick, something like that, possibly.
Think he's going number
that
one?
High? No. No, I don't. I did watch in person Corral and Hooker on the same field.
Yeah.
I don't think there's like some massive gap there.
Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a text that says, I believe the Colts will only lose one more game, so when the Titans don't win the division, Titans Twitter will want Vrabel and Robinson fired. That would be quite the turn from what this season started off like for the Tennessee Titans. I don't anticipate that happening.
If the Colts, let's say, so that would be 3-0, and now they have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that would be 8 out of 9 games.
Yep.
And that's against a schedule that includes the Bills, Bucks, Patriots, Cardinals. You know, the Raiders looks easier now. If they go 8-1, which of course would then put them at 11-6 overall at the end, incredible. And that still only wins the division if the Titans go from here 2-5.
Yeah.
I don't think the Titans are going to go 2-5. If the Titans go 2-5 from here to finish 10-7 and the Colts win the division, first of all, incredible story for the Colts, and I might be they might be my Super Bowl pick. And also, yeah, I'm sure some people will be talking about Vrabel and Robinson. It's not like they'd actually be in danger, but boy, that would be an all-time collapse.
Yes, it would.
I don't think that's going to happen, guys.
I don't think it's going to happen either. Now, I can tell you what's going to happen this week. There are going to be people not giving much of a chance to the Titans in this game. And just like, you know, we talked about the Texans game last week, and I kind of brushed them aside. I'm like, all right, it's the Texans. The Titans should be in good shape. It's not going to be to that level with the Titans and the disrespect or whatever you want to call it this week. Patriots are a 5.5-point favorite. They're the hottest team in the league right now. They look really good. So a lot of people are going to pick the Patriots to win this game. This is setting up for a Mike Vrabel special. Now this would be a if the roster looks like I think it could look like on Sunday, this would be the Mike Vrabel special of specials if he's able to pull this one off. Because they just could be like at some point, as good of a coach you are, like you got to have players out there, and they are running out of players at this point.
They are. Would this be more of a quote unquote Mike Vrabel special than the win in LA?
I mean, yeah, because you had AJ Brown and Julio Jones.
Yeah, you did. But you were right fresh off Derrick Henry. And remember what we thought of the Rams at that point.
Sure.
Now, obviously, the Titans helped, you know, take something out of them or whatever. I mean, the Titans, the next 2 weeks of the Rams, it was like, okay, this team maybe has some issues. But going into that game, it was like, who's stopping this team ever, right?
Yeah.
So.
No, it's close. You had A.J. Brown in that game. Now, look, A.J. Brown could come out on Wednesday and be at practice for all I know. I don't know. I don't know what A.J. Brown's status is going to be this week. But you did have A.J. Brown. You had Julio Jones. You had David Long Jr. Like, you had all these guys that are questionable as you move forward here. We'll see what happens. It'd be good to get David Long Jr. back here, too. I mean, we've not talked a lot about him so far this week, but they're going to need him back on defense.
Wow, that might be of the realistic returns. And like you said, I mean, I can't sit here and say A.J. Brown isn't realistic, but of the returns that would seem feasible this week, that could be a big one. I think they're just so much better. But remember, against the Texans, defense wasn't really the problem, right? Although the Texans ran on them too well early. But Monty Rice was taken off the field, I think, because of mistakes, and then Dylan Cole is one of your inside linebackers for a lot of that game. I mean, you really banged up there. David Long coming back makes that a different defense.
Join us from 11 to 1 p.m. in the beautiful Bode Hotel courtyard to watch the Titans take on the New England Patriots this Sunday. The game starts at noon, and we'll be on site giving away tickets to shows like the Red Hot Chili Peppers and Dierks Bentley, sidebar gift cards, plus a two-night, two-bedroom stay at Bode Nashville. You must be present to win. Drink specials all game long at the sidebar, the Bode Nashville's in-house cocktail bar serving cocktail beers, wines, and bar bites as well. Be sure to join us at the Bode Hotel at 401 2nd Avenue South in downtown Nashville. When we come back, we'll be joined by our good friend Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Get his thoughts on all things NFL moving ahead here into Week 12. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.